And I want to begin with this quote before we read our text, because this quote really spoke to me and really spoke to where I was at. And I want to tell you a little bit about my story with this. But this quote says, "You're either green and growing or ripe and rotting." You're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. I've been in the ministry for over 30 years. I took my first church in February of 1978, and I have had a church as a pastor ever since then. This is my third church here. There's not been a time in those 32 years that I haven't had a church. I remember when I was a young man and God was dealing with my life. Even before I became a Christian, God began to work on my heart. And I had such a hunger for the things of God. I was searching. I was seeking, and I was seeking out of my hurt. You know, a lot of times, most of the time, until we're hurting, we don't ever think about God. And that's a shame, because we never think about God until we hurt. Now, if you were raised in church all your life, that may be a different story. And I was raised in church, but I came into a situation where I was hurting. And God was dealing with me. I remember as a child laying back on a grassy bank and looking up at the clouds and communing with God. I didn't know Him at the time, but I was a child. And I remember reaching out to God and God reaching out to me. But during this time of my hurt, God began to deal with my life. And over the process of time and through some events, I came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My hunger did not end there. I had a voracious appetite for the things of God. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know His Word. I wanted to be in church. I was driven. But because God was working in me, there was a lot of things that I did not know. There's still lots of things I do not know. I'm not an expert on anything by any degree. But there was a lot of things I did not know. And I wanted to know Him. I wanted to know the purpose for my life. There's so many things that I wanted to know. You know, there's a scripture that says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And the more that I hungered for God and reached out and read His Word and attended church, all of the things that I knew to do, God revealed Himself to me. There was such a hunger in my life. Can anybody identify with that? Has that ever happened to anybody else besides me? I think that's pretty well the way that God deals with us. I came to realize that I was called to ministry. And I made preparations to be prepared for ministry. Went to Bible school. I was hungry for God and I wanted to pastor. I have never wanted to do anything besides be a pastor of a local church. I have no aspirations of traveling ministry or being a prophet or a big name TV preacher. I've never had those aspirations. I just wanted to be a pastor of a local church. That's never changed. That's what I still want to be. But I had such a hunger for that. And then I got into ministry, got a church, and I realized, man, that's an awesome responsibility. But through the years growing in the things of God, and you come to a place because you're always giving out. You're always giving out. And I found myself coming into a situation that my study was so that I could preach. My study became so I could preach and minister. And I didn't realize that it was creating a deficit in my life. Sometimes you can lose your passion for the things of God. You can lose your passion for God if you're not careful. And I think that's what happened to me, that I was studying to minister. And if you minister or if you teach a class, you know what I'm talking about. You can come to the place that you're not feeding yourself, you're just studying so that you can minister to others. But I do know this, that first of all, God called all of us and me to have a personal, daily relationship with Him. That's the most important thing. That's the most important relationship that a person can have. And, you know, the last couple of years, I began to realize that there was deficit in my life. I wasn't backslidden. I wasn't away from God. I wasn't living in sin. I wasn't chasing women or anything like that. It wasn't anything like that. But I had lost my first love. I'd lost my first love. I had lost that hunger. And I began to believe that maybe it was just a one-time thing in your life where you could really have a hunger after God, and then it kind of got you established, and then it just kind of went away. But I have come to know and understand that it does not have to be that way. That you can have a passion for the things of God. You can have a passion for the things of God. And this is something that you individually and me individually, we have to take responsibility for our own spiritual lives. You can be a part of a church. You can be a part of a good church. There's a lot of things that you can do, but you have to take personal responsibility for your spiritual growth and your relationship with God. See, this is a non-denominational church. And we don't care about your background. You can be a heathen. And by that I mean just unsaved. That's a term we use. In the Old Testament, you were either Jewish or heathen. Okay? Jew or Gentile. And Gentiles were heathens. Okay? So when we say heathen, we're talking about unsaved people. But you can be an unsaved person, or you can come from any kind of background. We don't really care. What we really care about is that you have a personal, living relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we're about. Although we want to build this church, if we can help build other churches, we're going to help do that too. Because not everybody that comes here is going to stay here. We realize that. And we can point people. We're about the kingdom. We're about the kingdom. It's not just about this church. It's about the kingdom. And if we can sow seeds in this community, there are people that we'll minister to that'll never come to this church. And that's okay. That's okay. We want them to find a good church. We want to find one that fits them. Okay? That's what we want to be about. But our main thing, we want to make the main thing, and that's to have a personal, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. So I knew that I had to take responsibility for that. And I believe that God began to reveal to me a pattern or a scriptural thing to help me grow. And this is how I came up with this thing that I call circles. Circles. And all I'm going to do today is introduce to you circles. Our scripture for today is found in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I have preached this scripture many, many times. And I'm reading today from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life." And the message says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. And it's talking about the what? It's talking about the heart. It's talking about our heart, our inward man. So you got two men. You got the inward man, which is the spirit and the soul, and then you have the outward man, which is the body. Which is the most important? It's the inward man. It's the heart. It's the core. It's the spirit and the soul. The outward man really just follows the inward man. You can be ruled by the outward man, or you can be ruled by the inward man. That's your choice. But this says that above all that we guard, we need to guard our hearts, for out of it is the flow of the springs of life. Life flows out of your heart. Whether you realize it or not, your heart dictates who you are and what you are. So what we're really talking about, you remember a year or so ago, I did a series and we talked about the law of capacity. Remember the law of capacity? Does anybody remember the law of capacity? The law of capacity says that you can only receive from God to the level of your capacity to receive. If you have a container this big, that's your capacity. And to receive more than this size of container, you have to increase your capacity. And there's one thing about the human heart, it can be increased. It can be increased. I've said this over and over, that your mind, God gave you a marvelous mind. And you don't know, but He gave you a marvelous spirit also. Our inward man is a marvelous thing. We're limited in our physical man, but listen, we are not limited by design in our spirit and our mind. I've said this before, that you have enough mental capacity to live 3 million years. You're not going to live that long, okay? We operate on such a small percentage of our brain power. God has given us something that is designed by Him to cause us to be able to do anything that He wants us to do. Now, a lot of times, we don't have a lot of capacity because we have not increased our capacity to receive from God. And this is what this whole thing is going to be about, is in increasing your capacity to be who you are designed to be. You know, animals, they don't have this capacity. You know why dogs bark? Because they're dogs. That's their capacity. You know why cats raise their tail and act like they do? Because they're cats. They do what they do out of their inward self. That's all they can do. They don't have the capacity to be anything other than what they are. But we're different than animals. In fact, we are made in the likeness and the image of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're made like God. You really are. You're made like God. You're made in His image and in His likeness. So we have the capacity to produce on much of a higher level than do animals. So if we're going to be able to be what we're supposed to be, guess what we got to do? We've got to increase our capacity. We have to increase our inward man. I have been on a very disciplined regiment to bring myself to a new level in Christ. I have been on that journey. I didn't realize what was happening, but God has got me on a journey to increase my capacity to be who I'm supposed to be for Him. I have not lived to my potential. I am not yet at my potential. I want to stretch my capacity so that I can be more for the kingdom of God. And one of the things is that I want to decrease so that He can increase. And this is a big thing. So we're going to be getting into some of this kind of stuff. And I want to show you a pattern. I'll have a handout for you next week. I've got a challenge for you, that I'm going to challenge you to do something over the next few weeks. This series could last a year, but it's not going to. I'll probably have to do it in phases, because the more I begin to study about it and the more I begin to meditate about it, the bigger and bigger it got. Okay, go with me to Romans chapter 12. And this is a very, very important verse of Scripture. See, you change your life by changing your heart. You change your life by changing your heart. I want to say that again. You change your life by changing your heart. This is the law of capacity. You can only receive from God to the level of your capacity to receive. We have a tendency to be narrow You ever heard the term narrow-minded? You know, narrow-mindedness will take you to a certain level and you'll quit right there. I don't want to be narrow-minded. I want to be scripturally minded, okay? And if I'm going to increase my capacity, then I have to learn to think like God thinks. I want to see like God sees. I've prayed this prayer for a long time, and it's disturbing. I said, God, teach me and show me how to love people like you do. And I haven't always done a good job of that. But I'm wanting to get out of the way and let God do that. But Romans 12, 1 through 2. And I'm reading this from a different translation. This, because I want the effect. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I can quote King James, okay? This is not King James that I'm reading, but this is the essence of that. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Boy, here's a challenge. You want a challenge? This is it. Your everyday life. It's easy for me to have a Sunday life. I'm giving God this day. God doesn't want just Sunday. He wants every day. Can I say, oh, first crowd shouting today. What's up with that? Glory. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Now, I love that. Let me read that again. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. And I think this is what happens to us many times, is we just kind of adapt to our culture and so affected by it that it drains the passion out of us. We get so caught up in our everyday life. And we find ourselves very undisciplined because we're reacting to everything that happens in our life. And we're no longer in control of our lives because we haven't set boundaries and we don't have priorities and we don't have circles in our lives that dictate how we act. I believe that the Christian life is a very disciplined life. It's not sloppy. It's not sloppy. We'll get to that later. See, you can control your world, or your world will control you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Okay, here we go. Instead, fix your attention on God. There's the key. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Can I say something? You know, y'all almost embarrass me a little bit. I mean, I've lost a lot of weight lately. About 50 pounds now, here's the thing. It didn't come because I just decided to lose weight. It came from this discipline that I'm talking about. And I believe it'll last because it's a change from the inside to the outside. And see, and if all you do is try to change the outside by the outside, that's why so many people go on diets, and I've done it. I've lost a ton of weight in my lifetime. And what happens when you get your goal, you let up and you go back to your old lifestyle. And what I'm trying to do is let God change me from the inside to the outside. So this, I trust, is a reflection of what's happening on the inside. And this is what God wants to do, not just about the physical, but about every part of our lives. He wants to change us from the inside to the outside. Your inside will change your outside. It'll change your Your look, your out, and your outlook too. Okay. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That comes from the Message Bible, by the way. So we're going to be talking about circles. And when we're talking about circles, we have to talk about the heart first. See, it begins with you. Say that with me. It begins with me. It begins with me. It doesn't begin with someone else. It begins with me. You know, life is not about me, but it does begin with me. I want to live a life that's not about me. And if I'll do that, God will make my life meaningful. And He will fulfill me. But when me is the focus, then that's not good. But to get where I need to be, there's some me issues that me and God have to deal with. So when we talk about our circles, and I've got a target that I'm going to be giving you next week that has a center circle. And that's where we're going to start. We're going to talk about the core, the center circle. I began to think about this. Circles. That may be a little blind. Then I come up with the word core or the word kernel. And then I came to the word nucleus. And in biology, the cell nucleus. This is fascinating because really when we're talking about the heart of something, the center of something, the core of something, that's what we're talking about is the nucleus. And I begin to look at the qualities of a nucleus in science. And the first thing that we need to see about the nucleus is that in science, in cell biology, the nucleus is the control center of an organism. It is the controlled center. That's where everything operates from. That's why that scripture is so powerful. Above all you guard, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Your center man. It's the core. Everything is driven from that heart. Guess what? If you don't guard that heart, if you neglect that heart, guess what? It malfunctions. You know, a dog is always going to be a dog. He can't be anything else but a dog. But a human being can make choices. We are free moral agents. You can act like a dog if you want to. Or you can be the human being that God designs you to be. You can be a human being that is controlled by the outside and live totally a selfish life. Or you can be a human being who is controlled from the inside. And you can be a blessing not only to humanity, you can be a blessing to God. Because when you glorify God, guess what? You're a blessing to God. Do you want to be a blessing to God? So the nucleus is the control center. The nucleus is an impermeable membrane. That means that there is a guard around that nucleus to protect what's on the inside of it. That there's nothing that can penetrate that membrane. Now guess what? In human beings, there is. You know why? Because we can choose what we let on the inside of us. We have the ability to choose what we entertain in our minds. You have the ability to choose who you allow to be control of your life. It's your choice. It's your choice. See, God said, I've set before you today life and blessing or death and cursing. Choose life. He said, choose life. Guess what? When you choose life, you'll find fulfillment. But there is a control center. There is a membrane, your heart, and it is designed to be impermeable. But you have to choose that. And we'll talk about that later also. I'm just introducing today. I'm excited about this series. I have been thinking on this for a long... I've been bugging Eric and Mark West talking about this, and Jason. I've been preaching this to them for a long time and thinking, how am I going to preach all of this? It's just too big. Okay. The nucleus, and I love this. Listen, the cell nucleus contains all of the genetic material or the DNA of an organism. In other words, whatever is in that nucleus, that cell nucleus, is what it produces. That's what it's designed to do. It produces the DNA by design. It flows out of there. And that's why it's so protected, that it doesn't let anything in there, but it does have things that will let it out. And it is doing that. You like my first row's laughing at me. Get some DNA on you there. But that flows out of there. And it is designed to produce what it is. That's why apples produce apples and oranges produce oranges. And you have a heart that's like that, that has the DNA. Let me quote a scripture to you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What's he talking about? He's talking about your core, your spirit. What is put in there? Is that an old sinner in there? No. That's a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know what it has on the inside of it? DNA that wants to come out. What will it do? It'll change you. We sing the song all the time. Change me from the inside out. See, real spirituality changes us from the inside out. Religion wants to change us from the outside in. Rules and regulations will never affect what inside out will do, because it's the work of God. So that's the nucleus. So when we're talking about this, that's what we're talking about. Okay, what is the function of the nucleus? Number one, it is to maintain the integrity of the gene. It maintains the integrity of the gene. Why is God living in you? Because He loves you, and He has put something in you to maintain the integrity of the thing that He has started on the inside of you. Now, he wants you to increase that capacity to receive from Him so that what's in there can get out. It doesn't just happen like it does in cell biology. We have to choose it. Number two, it controls the activity of the cell by regulating gene expression. It lets it out. It expresses who it is. Number three, it's responsible for the growth and reproduction of the gene. What does God want to do? He wants to reproduce what's inside of us out here. He wants to get it into our minds. He wants to get it into our bodies. He wants to get it out of our bodies and into our world. See, listen. If we want to be a life-giving church, where does that life begin? It begins right here. It begins on the inside of us. And guess what? God wants to work in us so that He can work out here. It's called life-giving. Life. Number four, the nucleus is the essence of the organism. And here's what, when you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, your spirit becomes the essence of who you are. This is why we talk about the old, we're going to baptize in the second service. And here's what this, when we baptize, we let them down in the water and we're saying, my old man has died. We're raising them and we're saying there is a new man on the inside. We believe that's symbolic of what has taken place. And we really believe that when you become a new creature, that on the inside of you, there is that becomes the essence of who you are. Number five, the nucleus makes it what it is. The nucleus makes the organism what it is. Your spirit man is designed to make you what you are. See, now we have to increase this capacity. Okay, I've got to close. Let me tell you a little bit about circles real quick. And one of the reasons I got this idea was from the John Osteen quote. They drew a box to keep me out, but love had the wit to win. Love drew a circle that let me in. And that's what this whole thing is about. Learning how to include things in our circles so that love can permeate every part of our life. We're going to talk about relationships. But we got to start with you and God. The second tier of circles, and there's lots of circles, is you and your spouse, you and your children, you and your extended family. Then the next tier of circles are you and your friends, you and the people you go to church with, you and the people that you work with. The next tier of circles is you and the world. Then the one I really want to talk about is the circle that you live in 24/7. And it excludes no one. If we understand the love of God, our circles should exclude no one. If we can understand that, and we'll try to develop this thought as we go along, that our circles will exclude no one. A lot of times, we draw boxes to keep people out of our lives when God wants us to draw circles that will include people in. Do we have to set priorities? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. My number one relationship is me and God. If it's not that, nothing else is going to be right. You know what my second most important relationship needs to be or has to be for it to be right? Me and my spouse. Even before my children, me and my spouse. And we'll talk about that. It's circles. It's circles of relationship. It's circles of influence. It's circles of love. And it's designed to exclude no one, but to include everyone, but to different degrees. My circle may mean that I hear of somebody who is hurting and I pray for them. They're in my circle. If a person comes into my consciousness, either physically or otherwise, they're in my circle and they're in there for a purpose. It'll cause you to view life differently. It'll cause you to be a different person than what you are. Amen? Joe.